Morning. So, everybody ready to hear the word? Ready to be challenged by the word? Awesome. I guess I got free passage. There you go. No, would you join me in a prayer before we get started here this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that we can speak many words, but it is only by your Spirit that they're made to be alive. So I just pray that this morning, as we speak your word, as we talk about your word, Lord, that it might be a double-edged sword, that it might slice through the things of our life, Heavenly Father, that it might divide apart the things that need to be divided off our life, Heavenly Father. So we just pray that those that need to hear the word may hear it this morning in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Let ears be open and eyes open to see what you are doing and what you want to do in each one of the people's lives here today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've been on a series called Battles and Breakthroughs. And we've had some awesome messages throughout the last month and a bit. So if you've missed some of those, you can go to our website and catch up there. But I have the privilege of doing the last one here today. So title of my message this morning is Just Pushing Through. I think it'd be more pushing through with the Word of God this morning. So I want to kind of do maybe a bit of a recap about who we are in Christ Jesus. I know I was speaking a couple weeks ago, and we talked about that a bit, but I wanted to do a little bit of a recap and see about who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, the Word of God is so awesome. You know, Ezekiel, over 500 years before Jesus even came on the earth, Ezekiel, prophesied about what God was going to do. And what a marvelous thing. I strongly believe that the enemy had no idea what it would mean if he killed Jesus on the cross. He truly did not. Because it replicated him to the millions, right? Because he sent his Spirit back into us. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27 says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." So he prophesied that the Spirit of God would come and our hearts, our cold hearts, would be changed. And that we would have a spirit that would actually empower us to live out what he had called us to live out. Because I don't know how many of you know that it was impossible for Israel and so on to follow the rule of the law. They still came short. But the Holy Spirit within us, the righteousness of Jesus, allows us to be able to walk in righteousness, right? Romans 8, verse 1 to 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free, Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death." So we've been set free. We've been set free from what the enemy had planned to, you know, the initial part in the garden where we were subjected to death and decay. Of course, we know that our bodies are still decaying, but our spirits are alive, so that we are ready for the resurrection of our bodies, right, as when Jesus comes back. Romans 8, verse 9 to 10, it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But Christ is in you. Although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness." The Spirit of life was righteousness. So, Jesus came to liberate us. And I want to get into it today. Well, the first thing what I'm trying to do is I'm kind of trying to convince you, first of all, about who you are. Because if we are convinced about what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, then there's barriers that start falling in front of us, barriers that have been set up by the enemy, lies that have been set by the enemy. In Romans 8, verse 37 to 39, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor anything present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are protected. We're watched over by Jesus. Nothing can take us out of that. But there's an issue, though. There comes a time, when there's head knowledge, when there's knowledge, that's good. Knowledge is a starting point. But with knowledge needs to come action. And if I can tell you, without action, there was only so much growth. Somebody said it this way, that, without action, there is a constipated Christian, right? Sorry for the graphics there, but you know, the problem is we can all become a little bit constipated every once in a while, right? We do a lot of learning, but we don't do a lot of applying. And you see, that becomes a vicious circle, because when we don't apply the Word of God, what ends up happening is it ends up passing away. So we learn all these things, but because we don't apply it, they actually end up, it starts disappearing again, right? Because it doesn't actually become in us a revelation, right? So as we start applying the Word of God, it becomes a greater revelation to us and understanding of how we walk it out, right? It says in James 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So, we are to be doers of the word. Now, well, before I go there, maybe, so in James 1, verse 22 in the Amplified, I want to read it that way too, because it kind of expands it a bit. It says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the word but fail to initialize its meaning, and deluding yourselves by unsound reasonings contrary to the truth." See, there, in the world, when we don't apply the word, and if we don't even read the word, there comes lies and deceptions upon our lives that we cannot decipher. And I don't know if you've been there before, where you're trying to decipher things, what is the right way to, what's the right path or whatever else. Well, sometimes those things happen because we're not in the Word of God, so we don't know exactly how to divide the right way, which path God is leading us to follow and all these type of things, right? So there is the Word, there's knowing the Word, there's applying the Word, so that we are able to get away from unsound reasonings, right? And trust me, if you look in the world, there's many unsound reasonings, right? And if we know the word, we can overcome those unsound reasonings. In James 1, verse 23 to 25, it continues. He says, "For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who carefully looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener, forgets, but is an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God and what he does in his life of obedience." So there's an obedience that needs to be needs to happen in our lives, right? So, I think. So, how do we have this obedience, right? Blake Curry said, "Seeing the need is being called to meet the need." I thought that was a good saying because sometimes, you know, our obedience looks in many different ways. One is applying the Word of God, and the Word of God sometimes maybe it is us actually seeing a need somewhere. Somebody needs help or something like that. Well, that is maybe us actually needing to supply the need because we actually see the need, so we're actually supposed to supply the answer, right? So these are, that's a simple, maybe a simplified way of looking at it, but wherever we see needs, we need to maybe step in and start actually being the provider of those needs, right? And I don't know what that all looks like, right? And I think, you know, this is where the practice starts coming in of our actually our faith, right? So what do I mean by practice? So, you know, sometimes we read things in the Word of God, like praying for people. You know, it says very clearly, you shall lay hands on the sick and then you shall recover. But what does that mean? I think it becomes a different thing once you start actually applying that word. When you actually start stepping out, then all of a sudden you realize you have to overcome your own fears, you have to overcome your own unbelief, you have to overcome other people's unbelief, maybe even people that might judge you for how you do it or this or that. You have to overcome all those things. So there's actually a barrage of different things that start hitting you as soon as you start stepping out and actually start saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to believe the Word of God. I'm going to actually start stepping out into the Word of God. There will be an onslaught of different people that will come against you. People maybe you don't, maybe people that you are very close to you might even be the ones that actually are judging you for what you are doing. Why do I say this? The enemy does not care if we are fruitless Christians. The enemy does not care. So I just started the message with, this is who you are in Jesus. This is what he has provided. This is what he has done. He has given you somebody within you that's able to empower you to live out what he is calling you to live out. But here we are talking about what is the next step to be a doer of the word. So this is where the battle starts. Us actually stepping out into what Jesus says in the Word of God. And I can tell you, you will find many different people and that have the doctrine of men or whatever else to have built up to void and nullify the Word of God. And this comes to the second point of it. So when we step out and to become doers of the Word, what ends up happening is all of a sudden you got to know the Word. So you find out very quickly, I've heard many sermons, I've listened to many things, blah, blah, blah. But now, when you're actually stepping out, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, what was that again? What was this, right? So there's a second challenge of us actually understanding and knowing the Word of God, right? The Word of truth. And there is, you know, the Word of the Bible is the most sold book ever. But is it the most read book ever in our, you know, is this the question? You know, if I have to be honest, sometimes I'm not reading the way I need to read. I'm always getting better. I'm always pushing myself. I'm always stirring myself up to, I need to know more. I want to know more because I want to be ready for the answer. And I don't know if you've known sometimes, you know, you're in a place of, maybe you've gotten busy in life and whatever else, and you see a need. You need, somebody needs prayer, somebody needs something, but you don't feel prepared. You don't feel like I'm prepared because you haven't been spending the time with God because life has gotten busy or whatever the case might be. So I'm always continuing to stir myself up to get into the Word of God. Do I always do it perfectly? No. But I do know that I have the Holy Spirit within me. He makes up the difference, right? But he does not read the word for me and tell me what it says. I still got to do those things, right? I still got to carry those things out. In Acts 1, I don't have it on a screen there, but in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "We shall receive power." We shall receive power. There's two shalls there. We don't get to pick which shall we should follow. It says, "We shall receive power, and you shall go into all the world." So, one, we've received the power. We have. The Holy Spirit, and like we read before, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, you have the power. But you also need to take a step forward and start discovering what that power means. What does it mean? What does it mean that I have this Holy Spirit? What does it mean? What difference does it make between me and somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit? The thing is, if Christians do not understand their own power, they don't understand their own ability, their own, what the Holy Spirit actually does within them, are they more useful than a person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit? Sometimes they are because they're listening to the Holy Spirit, right? But my point is, we need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. And that is only by getting into the Word of God. On a consistent basis, we need to build up the Word in us, right? To understand who we are in Jesus and what He has come to accomplish. Because I find that we again and again asking God for what He has already accomplished in our life. We are again and again asking Him to do once again what He already did through Jesus Christ. We are now, like Paul says, you know, I would love to give you some meat, but you're still on spiritual milk. So we want to get beyond the spiritual milk stage and we want to get into the meat stage. So I'm challenging today in love. There's a step that we need to take forward. If we don't understand who we are, then we don't take authority in who we are. If we don't understand, then we cannot help others who don't understand. If we understand, then we can help somebody else that doesn't understand. You know what I'm saying? And I wonder, and this is just me wondering, are we ineffective because we just don't understand ourselves? Because if we truly know what we have, should that not make us want to tell somebody else? Because every single day, people are passing away, and they're passing away into eternity without Jesus Christ. And we know where they're going when they pass away into eternity without Jesus Christ. So if we have the answer, if you know actually what the answer is, and so I think, you know, one thing in North America I think we do too is we do too much learning and we need to fully know everything before we start going out. No, that's not how it works. You don't actually learn the entire Bible from front to back and then decide to step out. No. The truth that you've been given, when you read the Word and there's a truth that you start seeing, that truth you've got to then start walking out. You actually got to step out and start walking that truth out. Hopefully I'm making sense here. I wanted to use this analogy. I was seeing somewhere on a messaging group that, you know, I always go walking by Pervan Park. And, you know, I've walked down there for already a couple years. Like, I love it down there. So able to go for walks. Beautiful area. And somebody posted this. They had this big snake on a stone. It had been killed by something, and somebody put it on a stone, and there was this outrage. Who killed the snake? This guy said, "I put it on a stone," blah, blah, blah. Anyways, that's not the point of the story. But when I noticed the snake, I'm like, wow, that's a big snake. All of a sudden, my walk changed completely. I'm no longer just bruising through the tall grass without a worry, and I'm looking down. I'm watching and seeing what's happening, you know? It's amazing what an awareness does to us. When we're not aware, We're going about life. And maybe there's an analogy in there somewhere. I just thought, you know, awareness is my analogy. But, you know, we need to be aware, right? We need to be aware of who we are. We need to be aware. And the only way to be aware is actually reading in the book and see what Jesus says about us. What does he say? Who does he say we are? Who has he made us to be? You know, there's many different beliefs. There's many people have, you know, I never thought about it this way, but I was thinking about it, and I heard somebody talking about it too, you know, that you have many different belief system. One, God is completely sovereign. You are a pacifist. Life will happen to you however it will happen to you. And then there's another one where God doesn't do nothing. You are on your own, you know? So you have a couple of different extremes. And I can tell you, we're in the middle somewhere. You know, there is a responsibility that we carry ourselves to walk out what God has called us to walk out. He's not going to do it for us. He's working through us. And that is through our prayers, through us actually laying hands on people, through us actually witnessing to people, to us following the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's supposed to be moment by moment, right? So if you're in that stage where you're like, God is completely sovereign, I would challenge you to read the Word of God, because it does not say that he's... Then what was the point of Jesus coming on the cross? If he chose everything for you already, what was the point? So here's another element to it. So, you know, once we read the Word, we're learning the Word, and we're learning to understand it, we're learning to also follow the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. See, the Holy Spirit is not always going to be about feelings, right? He's not always going to give you a feeling or so on. He wants you to be able to trust Him. He wants you to be able to walk with Him, not just by feelings, because how many of you know feelings can change, right? Feelings can change in this world depending on what's going on around you. He wants you to have confidence in Him and what He's going to do, right? And what He will do through you if you just step out. I heard it said this way. It was a great analogy about this a pilot who was instrument rated. Now, what this means is instrument rated is, I guess there's different stages of a pilot, and I hope that most cases I've been flying with instrument rated pilots, because they actually do not look at sight in front of them. They are purely looking at the instruments in front of them in order to fly. So let's say all of a sudden something happens, there's a storm, and apparently there's one of those things is they can easily get disoriented. And if you don't know your gauges, if you don't know what to look for, you can actually get completely disoriented and you think you're flying up and you're actually flying right straight into the ground, right? So when I heard this story, I thought, wow, what a beautiful picture of the believer. As we learn to know the Word of God, we're instrument rated. We don't need to see the sight in front of us. We know, by the Word of God, we know where we are, we know which direction we're going, we know what is up, what is down. We are constantly... How many of you see all around us churches not being instrument rated? They don't know whether they're up or they don't know where they're down. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. We are not to be that way. We are to be instrument rated. And what does that mean? We need to know the Word of God. And we need to follow Him. So sometimes the Holy Spirit does give us a feeling of His presence. He does give us peace. That is true. But in times when we don't see His peace, times we don't feel His peace, we still need to know His peace is promised upon us. I still have it. It's not gone. I just don't have the feeling right now, but I can still continue to walk forward, right? So be instrument rated. In Mark 4, verse 24 to 25, in the Amplified says, "Then he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. By your own standards of measurement, that is, the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond. And more will be given to you besides for whoever has a teachable heart to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. Amen. Amen. So our yearning for truth. You know, this is maybe another one that needs to be done. And trust me, I'm guilty of this. Yearning for truth. If I spend all my time looking at the world, if I spend all my time watching TV, if I spend all my time looking at what the world says has entertainment, if I spend all my time there, what do you think my yearning will be? For the Word of God, of course, right? No. Unfortunately, the things of the world, right? So there's a discipline that comes in here, a discipline of consistency. A discipline every single morning, at this time from this time, every single night from this time to this time, every single lunchtime from this time to this time. Whatever that is for you, you need to be disciplined, first of all, for a period of time. And the hunger for God's word will come. Then it's no longer your discipline that carries you, but it is your hunger that carries you. And I can tell you, your hunger even increases. Even you want even more. Not even just when it's that particular time. You want it, hey, during the day. Hey, man, what was that word of God? What's the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit has a funny way of bringing the word up in your mind. Remember this morning when you read this? Remember, you know? So he brings all things to your remembrance. So we just have to have some things in there for to bring to remembrance, right? You know, it says our weapons in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. This took me a bit, this one. It took me a bit to actually start understanding the power that we have as Christians to actually proclaim God's word over our lives, to actually still voices that are speaking. You know, the enemy he whispers to us all the time. And then trust me, it sounds like your own voice. He's at it day and night, day and night. When we actually truly start understanding who we are, we start catching these voices and we start saying, no, in Jesus' name, that does not line up with the word of God. Absolutely not. In Jesus' name, I cut that off right now. We need to start walking in authority with the word of God. And when we know the word of God, we can quote back the word of God, we can actually say, hey, no, that is not right. Something does not sound right here. Something, the enemy is constantly trying to bring us into a place of zero, a place where we just go about our lives, experience all these things. Like I said, I didn't know there were snakes down there until somebody said there were snakes down there. Well, it's maybe that I didn't know it, but I was naive of it, right? So through the Word of God, when we start recognizing that there's things that are trying to bring us into a place where we are of no effect, they're trying to bring us to a place where we are sitting back and watching the world do life. You know, there's some people that are watching 7 to 8 hours of TV a day. Think about that. Not living life, period. Man, like the enemy has gotten sophisticated, right? The enemy has gotten very good with algorithms, all these things just to keep you drawn, keep you connected to the internet, keep you connected to TV. Meanwhile, the rest of life goes on, but you have been subdued completely. And you are supposed to be an instrument of God to bring freedom and liberty to people. You, I'm not talking about the guy beside you. I'm talking about you. Every single one of us is, we have not just been given the Spirit of God for no purpose and no reason. To sit our lives around for the rest of our lives hoping that something will happen. No, you are the something that will happen. You are the something. Make something happen. But not by your own power and strength. It's through Him, through His power and ability in us, right? So, we walk, we do not walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit, right? And, you know, God has called us to something greater. And I know in Ephesians, you know, I won't go through this, this one, I think, but it's something for you to study. You know, he talks about, you know, our warfare is against principalities. But he talks about, again, all Word of God stuff. The Word of God, a shield of our righteousness, right? All these things. Actually, I'll just go through quickly. Well, actually, no, we do not have time. So we got to get moving here. So let's look at John 15. I'm just trying to figure out what to skip because we're about halfway down here. So John 15. 15 to 16 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you." We're not just servants to God. We're adopted as children of God. He does not call us a servant. Jesus says, "I have told you what the Father has said to me. I tell you directly." That all comes through the Word of God, right? So John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." So again, we're talking about word. We're talking about the truths of God's word, right? We don't just pray anything, but we pray according to the word of God. We pray according to what he has already said is yours. We pray according to what the truths of God's word. That's how you break chains in people's lives, because it is a lie, right? There's strongholds that have been set up. There's all these things, but you, because you know the word, are able to break those chains in people's lives. Well, you don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit in you speaking through you is able to hit the mark every single time, right? So, anyways, there was more, but we're going to go to... So, there's one last thing I wanted to just go over here. So, I'll read this, and then I want maybe everybody to stand up and repeat this with me. First, I'll read it. "This is who I am. I am a soldier in Christ's army. I am born again, spirit-filled child of the living God. The devil cannot stop me. Hell cannot defeat me. The grave cannot contain me, and the enemy will not silence me. My life was paid for with the blood of Jesus, which makes me valuable. I'm royal. I'm eternal. I'm redeemed. I may fall down, but I won't quit. I may be weak, but he is strong. The weapons may form... but they won't prosper. I'm a warrior. I am a victor. I am a child of God." That is you. So could I, as we finish off, could I get everybody to stand for a minute? I want you to declare this over your life. I want you to read it out loud with me. This is who I am. Hey, come on, people. Is this who you are? This is who I am. A soldier in Christ's army. I'm born again. Spirit-filled child of the living God. The devil cannot stop me. Hell cannot defeat me. The grave cannot contain me. The enemy will not silence me. My life was paid for by the blood of Jesus, which makes me valuable. I am royal.
I'm royal.
I'm eternal.
I'm redeemed.
I may fall down, but won't quit.
I may be weak, but He is strong.
The weapons may be formed, but they won't prosper.
I am a warrior.
I'm a victor. I'm a child of God. Amen. 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 Just join me in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord God. You have given us all things that we can live out this life in victory, Heavenly Father. And we can show others how to live a life of victory, Lord. Help us not to just contain this within ourselves, Father, but help us to go out to show others, to tell others about the victory that You have accomplished in our lives, Heavenly Father. I thank You, Lord, for every single person here. I pray that this word might not depart from them, Father, but it might be rooted in them and that it might bring a harvest of 80 to 100 fold, Heavenly Father. May You be honored. May You be glorified in all things, Lord and God. May You be glorified, Lord. May You be glorified in all things, Heavenly Father. May You be glorified. Amen. Amen. I just want to, just while you can sit down for this, but I just want to just give an opportunity quickly for, if there's somebody here that today that, you know, you're like, hey, I need salvation. I want to walk with Him. I want to be free. I just want to give you a quick opportunity to do that. So just repeat this prayer after me. God, please forgive me for all I have done wrong. I believe You sent Your Son, Jesus, to set me free. I want Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. From now on, I am following You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so I can have the power to change for the rest of my life.